This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Among comedian Will Ferrell's memorable Saturday Night Live characters was musician Gene Frankel, the belly-shirted cowbell player from the 70s rock band Blue Oyster Cult.
The last time I checked, we don't have a whole lot of songs that feature the cowbell.
I gotta have more cowbell, baby.
I'd be doing myself a disservice and every member of this band if I didn't perform the hell out of this.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
And that last line, delivered by Christopher Walken, catapulted onto T-shirts and bumper stickers and helped put the instrument designed for agriculture into the mainstream musical spotlight. But where did the cowbell come from, and how did it migrate from the farm to the recording studio? Chicago-based journalist Lori Rotenberg wrote an article for Modern Farmer called More Cowbell, From Herdsman's Tool to Cultural Icon, and joins us now on the line. Lori, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much, and it's nice to speak to you this afternoon.
Lori, when did we first see evidence of the use of a cowbell, and before it was used for any musical purpose, how was it used in agriculture?
Well, it goes back 10,000 years, and it would have been used for a lot of different animals, mainly sheep, lambs, anything that would be in a flock and that a herdsman or a shepherd would want to keep watch of where they were. For example, for a cow, they had a lead cow that would lead to pasture, sometimes often a bigger cow, a stronger cow, and that specific animal would wear a larger bell. And let's say there's a calf out there, a younger animal, younger lamb, they would wear a smaller bell, and that way it allowed the herdsman as well as the rest of the animals in the herd or flock to be able to tell where a specific animal would be.
What were they made of?
They could be made of anything. In the early days, they were made out of snail shells, stone, bronze, wood, and up to the current time of metal.
That sound of a cowbell, as we know them now, whether they were worn on goats or sheep, clanking in a field, is such a distinctive sound. There's really nothing like it. How did it go from there to being used in music?
From research and talking to a musicologist who's mentioned in the article by the name of David Ludwig, it happened because, let's take Mahler and Strauss, for example, ones that where they can really, mark the time of when it happened. Classical work started calling for pastoral segments in them, pastoral phrases, and some things that the composers were doing, and it was very avant-garde. And so to create that mood within a symphony, I think the first was Mahler. He decided to use a cowbell and had an area within the piece of music where this would bring up pastoral feelings, and had his percussionist actually walk among the orchestra players with the cowbell around his neck and, rattle it a little bit in that region. And the two works would be Alpine Symphony, and then for Mahler, it was Symphony No. 6.
Number six is what? It's so early 20th century, right?
Right.
And it's supposed to be about tragedy, but cowbells, I think of as a kind of a cheerful sound.
Well, for Mahler, it was bringing up his past of growing up in a rural area, and it was a sound he so loved and I think wished to hear again, from everything from cow parades to being close to pastures, that for him it was the sound, the last beautiful, peaceful sound you would hear on earth before heading up to the great beyond was his reason for it. So there was a dark element to it, It was the death, but the last sound you would hear.
A little bit of Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 6. Mahler was one of the first composers to use the cowbell in orchestral works. We can hear it clanging there in the background, giving some sense of the pasture. But the cowbell eventually became an essential percussion sound for studio musicians in rock and roll. How did it get from Mahler to Honky Tonk Woman with the Rolling Stones?
Well, what occurred was as the works were performed through time in symphony halls, what they would do to better control the ping was they removed the clapper and started tapping on it with a drumstick or other item the percussionist might use. So that sound became something then that people began to understand, and it just became part of the percussionist arsenal. And, you know, eventually just made its way into other realms of music. It would go into Latin music, jazz, you know, rock and roll, because it was already part of the bag that they would pull things out of that they would use for sound, you know, which showed up in vaudeville for background sound. So it appeared in a lot of different ways.
You also spoke with the percussionist Glenn Cauchy, who plays drums for the band Wilco, also performs solo percussion in an adventurous musical sort, certainly, often using the cowbell. Let's hear a little bit from him. Lori Rotenberg is with us. She wrote an article for Modern Farmer called More Cowbell, From Herdsman's Tool to Cultural Icon. We're sort of tracing how it made its way from the field into the recording studio, and there being played by Glenn Cauchy, percussionist for Wilco. What did he tell you about his use and love of the cowbell?
He's loved the cowbell since a youth. It was the first item he bought for his drum kit when he was a young teen, you know, 12, 13 years old. And what he loves about it is that it rides above all the other sounds. Glenn does not use cowbells that you would buy from a store, you know, where you would order from a musical store and get one that's made to fit on a kit. He likes authentic cowbells that he sources from junk stores and shops when he travels around the world. So he has a collection of at least 1,000 different types of cowbells.
Wow.
And he does keep some umglocken mounted on his drum kit for specific works, and those are bells that are tuned. But he just loves the sound that they make, and he said they're a wonderful rhythm tool, you know, something to keep the rhythm, but they ride above everything else. The sound is so distinctive.
What is the state of the cowbell now, though? Are farmers still even using them, or is it just musicians?
No, farmers are using them, and having an interview with Matt Bevin, the man who had Bevin Bell Company, the one that burned down in Connecticut, he had seen a rise in sales again as more young farmers go back into farming and follow the sustainability movement. They were going back to more 19th century farming, and this isn't all of them, of course, but a good number, and they started using the cowbells again. On larger farms across the country and even in Europe, they're now using GPS. They put a chip in a cow and follow the herd that way. But there was a resurgence of animals wearing the bells again, and you will still find it, you know, a great deal, especially in the Midwest.
Lori, any favorite tunes of yours that proudly feature the cowbell?
Oh, let's see. I think probably one that, from doing the research, it would have been Def Leppard's Rock of Ages, and I think it's cowbell at its best.
Well, Lori, thanks for sharing some of those unexpected things with us today.
And thank you very much.
To read Lori Rotenberg's article on the history of the cowbell and modern farmer, you can find a link at wordofmouthradio.org. And we'd love to hear your favorite songs featuring the mighty cowbell. Let us know on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio, or tweet us at Word of Mouth.
All right. I got something to say.
All of the contributors and the conversations you hear on NHPR are brought to you by you. It is listener support that allows us to present not only quality news and analysis, but programs that speak to your sense of curiosity and wonder of the world. If you rely on New Hampshire Public Radio to shed a little light on some new corners or happenings in the world, please let us rely on your listener support. Here's how you can help.